Amen. Well, we have been in Philippians chapter 1 for a few months. We are getting to verse 2 as we continue to exegete these scriptures. And by no means are we exhausting them. I do not have that capability. Amen. But we are learning as we go. And as I told y'all last week, I really have a strong desire to teach about who God our Father is. Last week we looked at He is the one who gives us grace and peace and how blessed we are to be the children of God. Amen? To understand that, to grasp that, that we are a child of the King. But who is our King? Who is our God? There are a lot of views today about who God is and who He's not. There are a lot of terms that are used, illustrations. People say the man upstairs. Well, obviously they don't know who God is, but they wouldn't say the man upstairs. They may call him the trail boss or the guy that leads the gang or whatever it may be. All kinds of terminology today that's used. But who is He according to the Scriptures? More than likely, this will be a lengthy study as we go through it. Not going to hurry up. I think that's one of our problems today. We're in too much of a hurry. We just want to skim the top of things and grasp that and then go on and say, hey, we know about it, but we really don't know about it. So we'll take our time through this study. I'd ask y'all to pray for me as I continue to study and prepare to preach and to teach. Not just that. You know, that's not the only reason I prepare. I want to know. I want to know what the Bible says. Myself, not just because someone else says it. No doubt this study will be beneficial to the church. And we'll start today by looking at God, our Deliverer. God, our Deliverer. There's much that we'll look at. There's no telling different ways we can go about looking at who God our Father is. But right now, we're going to start by looking at God, our Deliverer. As we begin the study, it would do good for us to remember, to understand that our minds are finite. This means that our understanding is limited. We have bounds on our understanding. If you're lost, you have no spiritual understanding whatsoever of who God is, because you are spiritually dead. If God has saved you, then you have a limited understanding of who God is. I know that's not popular today. People say we can know all these things, but please, realistically, just stop and think about it for a second. No human outside of Jesus Christ is all-knowing. Solomon, who is the wisest man in the Bible outside of Christ, had this to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's turn there. Let's look at these scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's look at some of these different ones. You may want to underline these in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. From there we'll go to the book of Job, then Isaiah, then the Romans. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. No man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. No man. Job chapter 37. Let's go there. Job chapter 37, verse 23. And if you want to write these down and go back and look at them later, that's fine too. But I want to give us the opportunity to look at them as we're going over this. And I also want to say this, it's not a sin to write in your Bible. Amen. I was always taught as a kid, don't write in your books. You get in trouble. That's good, but you can write in your Bible. Okay. Job 37, 23. says, touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He's excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. He says, we cannot find Him out. How vast is God? Isaiah chapter 40. Again, if you can't turn, I encourage you to write these down. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 through 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? This is God speaking. Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding. No searching of His understanding. There's no finding it out. Completely. Add that there completely. Let's go to Romans chapter 11 and then we'll get back to the message. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Please, Scripture makes it clear that we cannot fully comprehend God. If we could fully comprehend God, He would cease to be God. Then we got to make a problem. He'd be just like us, wouldn't He? Then someone else would be smarter than God or wiser than God. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, His ways are past finding out. In and through the Scriptures, God has given to us what He would have us to know about Himself. If we have a notion about God that is outside of the Scriptures, then we are stepping over the bounds that God has given us. There are no new revelations today. None. About who God is. God again is past finding out, and we should trust Him completely. Trust Him completely. So, we have a lot to learn. And life is short. So let us get started by looking at our Heavenly Father as our deliverer. We'll do this by turning to the book of Colossians chapter 1. This is right behind Philippians. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 12 through 14. These are the scriptures that our desire is to exegete this morning. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We'll start in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now when we truly understand that we have been delivered, and who it is that hath delivered us, and what we have been delivered from, we will give thanks. Giving thanks to the Father simply means giving thanks to God. To be grateful, to express gratitude towards God, thanksgiving. And obviously this is in all things. All things. But right now we'll be looking at we will be looking at the Father delivering us. So I give thanks unto the Father for delivering us. Look in verse 12. Because it is He which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. This is a simple action. This is what the Bible says is in the tense here. And the Father is the one who has made us meet. He is, listen, He's the one who has qualified us to be, to have a part or a portion, which means inheritance of the saints of light. Now He hath done this by His own power and by His own will. If y'all remember, we've done these studies on Wednesday nights through Colossians, so I was able to get a lot of notes from there for this sermon. Thank the Lord for those Wednesday night studies. They're very good. John 1:12-13 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It is God that does this. It is God that makes us meet or worthy to be have a part with the inheritance of the saints in light. There's nothing that we can do to qualify ourselves. It's all of God. We can't deliver ourselves. Matter of fact, we are so spiritually dead, we don't see our need for deliverance. We think we're good. We think we can work for it. We think we can earn it. We think, I'll do this and God will shine upon me. Or I won't do that and God will be happy with me. No, it doesn't work that way. We can't qualify ourselves for deliverance. Of course, I'm speaking about deliverance from the wrath of God. Deliverance by God is not synergistic, but monergistic. It's by Him and Him alone. It is God our Father, again, who made us qualified or made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him," speaking of God and Christ, "hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." It is God that delivers us, and when we understand this biblical truth, we will give Him thanks. And we will praise Him. For He is worthy to be praised. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34. We'll read the whole psalm. I think Brother Jeremy may have read this in the past month or so, as we go through our study on the life of David on Sunday nights, which is also a tremendous study. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. My caption in my Bible says that praising God for deliverance. This is a psalm of David. And he writes in verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried." Well, how do we see ourselves? "And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, take and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon or open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be destined. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Our God is a God of deliverance. He is the deliverer. If we think we have a part in delivering ourselves, then we'll find out that we start praising our own actions or our own non-actions. Do we come to our senses? Do we turn over a new leaf? Do we pick up ourselves by our bootstraps? Do we meet Do we meet God halfway? Did God do His part, now we have to do ours? No. God does it. Because we can't. He is our deliverer. I remember being over in Purvis, Mississippi some time back, and I saw a sign that said, God did His part, now you do yours. And I said, oh, that is so unbiblical. If it's speaking about salvation, that is very unbiblical. Let's see what the Bible says back in Colossians. And hold your place in Colossians because we'll be going back and forth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It is God, verse 12, that makes us, that qualifies us, makes us worthy to be partakers or to have a part of the inheritance of the saints in light. It is also God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is God, again, that does this. To who here, speaking of God our Father, He hath delivered us. This speaks of simple, undefined action. The subject here is God. It is God that is doing this work. It's not man. He is acting in some way upon Himself, concerning Himself. This means God is acting independently of us. And in spite of us. God is delivering us with no help from us. This verse says that God hath delivered us. The word delivered here means to drag or to pull or to snatch from danger, to rescue, to deliver. And in the New Testament, it's used of God delivering His saints. What is it that God must rescue us from? Sin, self, and Satan. And He's doing this of His own power, of His own will. So what kind of danger were we in that we need God to deliver us? See, here's the thing. In our lost state, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. In our lost state, we're blinded to this. We are dead, we've seen a second, and we are dead in trespasses and sins. We're blind. Though we're alive, we're spiritually dead. We can't see. What can you ask a dead person to do? You can ask him all kinds of things, can't you? Well, what can he do? Nothing. Whatsoever. Verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened. Past tense. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. You were lost. Look at verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, that's all of us, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's good for us not to forget where God brought us from. But God, see that verse 4? But who? But God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Look what else He's done. And hath raised us up together. Hear this again. And made us, see that? Set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has qualified us to do this. Not ourselves. That in ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are born totally depraved and are unable to come to God in our natural state. We are born children of the devil. We are born under the power of the prince of this world. And do you know what we need? We need deliverance. We need deliverance. We are in desperate need of deliverance. The word power in verse 13 speaks of power over persons and things, dominion, authority, rule. In our lost condition, we don't see as no one having power over us. How do we see ourselves? It's free. We're free. That's what we think. Not understanding that we are slaves to sin. Slaves to the devil, the prince of this world. We are under the power of darkness. The Bible says here in verse 13, look at it, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. We are under the influence, the authority of darkness. This is those who are in a state of moral darkness, wicked men under the influence of Satan. Again, only God can deliver us from the power of darkness. You and I have no power over the devil. But God is all power. God has supreme power over all. And when He saves us, He delivers us again from the power of Satan, sin, and self. These no longer have dominion over us. Romans 6 says that sin shall not or will not have dominion or rule or authority over you. Why? Because God again hath delivered us. He has snatched us from danger. He has rescued us. Not just from sin, Satan himself, but from the wages of sin. What is the wages of sin? The Bible says it is death. Where death there is not speaking of just physically dying, but to be spiritually separated from God for eternity. Separated from God for eternity. No common grace. Surely no effectual grace. Where will you be at? You'll be in the torments of hell for eternity. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says that we have been delivered. We shall not suffer. We've been delivered from the wrath of God. We're not appointed to wrath, are we? Why? Because God has delivered us. How? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. He saves us. He delivers us. He sets us free. There's more here in verse 13. Yes, He delivers us. But He also translates us into the kingdom of His dear Son. See, He does all this. We can't. We are powerless. We are completely at the mercy of God. To do this, to translate us to the kingdom of His dear Son, again, is a simple act occurring in past time. It's a done deal, matter of fact. And I talk about these tenses because it helps us understand. It brings clarity to Scriptures. Positionally before the foundation of the world, but practically at the moment. By God's sovereign grace, we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are translated to the kingdom of His dear Son. God our Father is the one who saves us. He delivers us. He translates us. We have a new residency. Amen. This world is no longer our home. We are just passing through, aren't we? So is there a difference? Is there a difference between those who are saved and those who are not saved? Yes, there is. Is there a difference that we can see? Yes, there is. Those whom God saves, they have, listen, we love Him, 1 John 4:19 says, because He first loved us. We have a love for God. We have a love for God's Word. We have a love for God's people. And there's also things that we hate. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not the world. Now listen, folks, if somebody has their attention or focus on things of the world, that's what the Bible says about that. Love not the world, this world system. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Not any. If your desire is to have the latest and the greatest, the best of the rest, if your desire is the things of this world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Which that means that you are not delivered. You are not saved. This does not mean that Christians can't have nice things. Amen. But that's not your desire. That's not what you want. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What we have or what we don't have should not define who we are. Material things. Amen. We should be focused upon Christ, whether in prosperity or persecution, whatever it may be. Why? Because He is the one who has delivered us. How thankful are we for that? I'm not sure about you, but I know where I was once at. And I'm not going to glory in sin. But I know I was headed to a devil's hell, and God, in His sovereign grace, interrupted my life. Save this wretched sinner worthy of hell. Delivered me from His wrath. God delivered me from God's wrath. It was, and listen, God didn't look down and say, that old boy's pretty good. I think I'm saved, you know. That's not what God said. He looked at me. Saved by His grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Can't earn it. Can't add to it to get more of it. But God does. He saves us. Listen, our minds are different. We no longer have desire. I can remember there was a time, and y'all may think this is funny, my wife and I wanted a four-wheeler. Just wanted a four-wheeler. Ride around on. Go through the yard. Of course, I want a four-wheel drive four-wheeler. Why? I'm a redneck. What do we want to do? Hit the mud holes. We want this. We wanted that. And then something happened. The Lord saved us. And those things went away. We have never owned a our own four-wheeler, have we? And don't care to. If God was to give us one, that's great. We don't care. Our desire to serve Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him. It is He that saves us. It is He that delivers us. And He puts us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I want you to listen to this word, kingdom. We were in the kingdom of darkness. Which means that we had coming to us all that kingdom has going to it. But now we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of His dear Son. And the word kingdom in this verse is spoken of the privileges and rewards of the divine kingdom, both here and after. How wonderful is that? To know that we are a child of the King. We were in the kingdom of darkness, headed to hell with no hope in ourselves whatsoever. And then God, by His sovereign grace, delivered us. And spiritually, translated us to the kingdom of His dear Son, where we have exceeding great and precious promises. We now live life in hope of the life to come. And we live like that, not to be saved, but because we are saved. All honor and glory goes to God. He is our deliverer. So how does He deliver us? There's only one way. Listen, going to church won't save you. Church membership will not save you. Baptism of any sort will not save you. We can name off all kinds of other things, couldn't we? But look in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even through the forgiveness of sins. That we here are those who have and will be delivered. We have. The Bible says that this means that we possess it. Listen, that means it's ours. It's been given to us by grace. What do we have? Redemption. Redemption. It means deliverance on account of the ransom paid. Spoken of the deliverance from the power and consequences of sin which Christ procured or effected by laying down His life as a ransom for those who believe. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, speaking of Christ, He entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption for us. How did Christ do this? Through His blood, His life. This was spoken of the blood of Christ in relation to those whom God has delivered, His church, the saints. Listen, folks, none of Christ's blood was wasted. Not one drop. By and through the blood of Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. And forgiveness in this verse, verse 14 here, is to release one's sins from the sinner, is a pardon of sins. How many of our sins did Christ pardon us from? All of them. Now listen, we know this does not give us a license to go out and sin, right? But when we understand who we were, before the Lord saved us, we don't want to go out and sin. Amen. We don't want to. We want to serve Him. We want to glorify Him. We want to praise Him. He's our God. And we are His. He is our deliverer. Something else. We have been delivered by God from the wrath of God, as I mentioned earlier. But this deliverance, listen, is non-reversible. Once we've been delivered, it cannot be undelivered. That may not even be a word, I don't know. We cannot be delivered and then not delivered. Why? Because God is the one who delivers us. And nothing and no one can cause God to lose anyone whom He has delivered. Why? Because He is our deliverer. There's nothing and no one in equal with God. We read that a while ago in the Scriptures. He has no equal. So what kind of people does He deliver? What kind of people? Does He save good people? The Bible says, look at Romans chapter 3, there's none good, there's none righteous, no, not one. God saves sinners. Paul said, of whom I am. God saves sinners. Who's God saved? Just look around. I'm not sure how many of y'all in here are saved or lost. I don't know. But just look around. Does God save? People just like you. People just like me. God saves sinners. What is sin? Sin is an offense against God. All sins are. God is our deliverer. Here's our question this morning. Has God delivered you? Listen, please, hear me. Has God delivered you? And do you know that? If He has, do you know it for a fact? According to the Bible, are you delivered? See, that's all we can go by is what the Bible says. If God has delivered you, then you are delivered indeed. And you will spend eternity in the presence of God. Because He delivered you through His Son, Jesus Christ. But if you're not delivered, I beg you to run to Christ. Listen, I understand God's in control. I understand these things. But also understand that I'm to beg you to run to Christ before it's everlasting too late. Run to Christ. God's plan is perfect. And His deliverance. I challenge you to examine your hearts this morning. If you have any questions, let us know. We can't save you, but we can point you to the One who can. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we close out